morning. I want to invite you to take God's word and turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, this is week 3 of the Essential Church series, and the purpose that we are putting forward in this series is to talk about and discuss not only the fact that the church is essential, and it is essential, but also we're looking at what the essentials of the church are. What should any local church, not just Champion Forest, but what should any local church be doing? What should we be about? And for us, on week 1, we discussed the essential number 1 is to know God. And we talked about the power of that, just the fact that the God of the universe, the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, the scripture says, the one who threw the stars in the sky and calls them by name, that God we can have a personal relationship with through his son, Jesus Christ. It's powerful. Any church should be a church that seeks to know God in a personal way. Secondly, we came back last week and we said essential number 2 is this idea of growing in him. That we are to grow in our relationship with him. We don't remain stagnant, but we are to be progressively becoming more and more like him. And we don't do this by observing religious activities and taking part in religious duties, but rather growing in him, becoming a healthy person spiritually comes by what Jesus said, simply abiding in him, remaining in him, staying close to him. When we do this, then our lives will be healthy spiritually and we will produce fruit. Well, week 3, we're talking about a necessity that should be in any local church. It is an essential, and that is that a church should be active in sharing the faith. Any healthy, growing, dynamic church will put an emphasis on the importance of evangelism, telling others about the life-changing message of the gospel. I'm calling the message today. If you take notes, you can write it down, and I encourage you to take notes every week so that you can go back in your time alone with the Lord. Just helps you remember things, write them down. The title of the message today is Called to Fish. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but the book ends of Jesus' life and ministry were all about evangelism. Jesus started his ministry, and he included his ministry instructing people to be witnesses for him. After his crucifixion and his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples, and before he ascended to sit at the right hand of God in heaven, do you remember his instructions to those disciples that were gathered there on the Mount of Olives that day? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This was the last bookend of his life and ministry. The text that we're looking at today in Matthew chapter 4, this is the first bookend of his life and ministry. And what we're going to see is that Jesus' message remained the same from start to finish. Reach people. Or in the words of this text, fish for men. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18, the Bible says this. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I want to make a simple point today, and I'll repeat it throughout the message, just as a way of just drilling it into our minds, drilling it into our hearts. You know, there was a lot of debate in seminary and preaching class about how many sermons a point should have. And we just came to the conclusion that a sermon should at least have one point, all right? It should have a point. And the point of this message is simply this. The call to follow is a call to fish. Following Jesus and fishing for men go hand in hand. And here's what I want us to do today. I want us to highlight in this text, first of all, I want us to look at who Jesus calls to follow him. Because when we see who Jesus calls to follow him, I think it will encourage and inspire us. Secondly, I want us to look at what Jesus tells those who follow him to do. And we're going to see it is to fish for men. And then we're going to come back and look at how we are to do this. Again, the call to follow is a call to fish. Let's look at who Jesus calls to follow him. If you've been in church for any amount of time, if you've heard the teachings of Jesus, you know that he was a master storyteller. I mean, few could communicate like Jesus. He had a way of taking word pictures and using them to drive a point home, or he would use a figure of speech or a metaphor that would really cause people to lean in and listen, and then he would drive his truth home. This is an example of Jesus using language that would draw people in, that they would understand. Just look at it. He tells some roughneck fishermen that if they make the decision to follow him, they would go from fishing for fish to becoming fishers of man. Now, just a reminder to you, we know that four of the disciples, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, they were fishermen. We see it in our text here. Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John. Many believe that Thomas and Bartholomew were also fishermen. Not a lot said about the other disciples, but it could be that as many as seven of the 12 disciples were fishermen. Now, I just want you to think about that for a moment. That those that Jesus first called to follow him, they were not the religious elite of the day. They were not the leaders in the local synagogues. They were not well-known, well-off, well-educated. There was nothing special about these men that Jesus called to follow him. Oh, they had some characteristics. They had some qualities that God could use just like me and you. But there's nothing about these men that would have caused them to stand out in that day and time. They were average, regular, ordinary, everyday people. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That fires me up to know that Jesus can use anybody, because that means he can use me. That means he can use you. Paul wrote about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. It'll be on the screen for you. The Bible says this: "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." I love this. The weak of the world, the foolish of the world. That's me and that's you. What's the saying? Like the disciples, God takes nobodies and uses them to tell everybody about somebody that can change anybody. And that's who we are. We're a bunch of nobodies. And that's our goal, to tell everybody about somebody that can change anybody. I mean, if you're here today or you're watching online and you're a little down, you're a little discouraged, maybe you're looking at your life and you haven't accomplished what you wanted to accomplish, or maybe you're looking at yourself and you're not as talented as the person next to you, or as educated as the person at the office next to you, you're not uber gifted, I got good news for you. You're the perfect person that God is looking to use. All you have to do is follow him. Now, just an observation from our text here today. You know, this is the first step in biblical interpretation, is to observe, observe, observe. When you're reading and studying your Bibles, that's how you do it. You just read the text over and over and over again and make observations about it. Well, one observation, if you read this text over and over again, you're going to see that once the disciples made the decision to follow Jesus, they had to leave some things behind. I mean, we notice in our scripture, Peter and Andrew, they had to leave their nets. Look at it in verse 20. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Read verse 21 and 22. Look at it. "And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." So in order for James and John to follow Jesus, they had to leave behind their business. They had to leave behind their father. I mean, this idea of following Jesus, and in order to follow him, we have to leave something behind, it's a common occurrence in Scripture. Matthew, the disciple, he had to leave his tax booth in order to follow Jesus. Paul. He had to leave the pride and position that he had as a Pharisee in order to follow Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus, who didn't become a believer until after his half-brother was raised from the dead. He had to leave behind his unbelief, his pride, in order to follow Jesus. What is it for you? Look, Jesus, he desires for you to follow him. He does. He's looking for average, everyday, ordinary people to follow him. But in order for you to make that decision to follow him, it's highly likely that you're going to have to leave some things behind in order to do it. It may not be the lucrative business like John and James had to leave. It may, though. You got to be willing and ready. It may not be family members that you have to leave behind in order to follow Jesus. It may, though. How many people do we talk to who have come out of a different faith and they've responded to the call of Christ and they begin to follow him and they're disowned by mom or dad? And Jesus said this. He said, listen, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And when you follow me, it might bring division. Might have to leave some things behind. Think about it as it relates to missionaries that we support, church planters that we support. In order to fulfill the call of God on their life and to follow him, they had to leave behind comforts and conveniences that they had in order to follow Jesus. I don't know what it is for you today. It's truth that we learn throughout Scripture. Jesus wants you to follow him. He wants you to follow him. But you may have to leave some things behind. Maybe at friendship or relationship, it's not any good for you. You may need to leave behind that pride and that arrogance. You may need to leave behind self. You can't follow Jesus wholeheartedly because you've been following you. That's why we sang that song earlier. He must increase. We must decrease. What is it that you need to leave behind today in order to follow Jesus with your whole heart? He desires for you to follow him, but listen, you have to follow him on his terms. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, you want to follow me? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. And so who is Jesus looking for to follow him and accomplish his kingdom purposes? Average, everyday, ordinary people, just like his disciples, just like me and you. And once we make the decision to follow him, what does he want us to do? He wants us to fish. Again, the call to follow is a call to fish. Jesus, using language these disciples could understand, that they could wrap their minds around, that they could grasp, he says, listen, you've been fishing for fish. You follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Every week, we meet together as a preaching team, our campus pastors. We're one church, four locations. I'm still trying to wrap my arms around, as the leader of the church, these four locations. We've got great campus pastors that are leading these churches, Conroe, Jersey Village, North Klein. And we meet every week and we talk about what we're preaching, because we're all preaching the same title, the same text. We want to generally be going in the same direction. And so it's fun to just listen to us talk and just think about what truths do we want to pull out of the scripture? What observations are you making? And Stephen Morris, our campus pastor at North Klein, said, you know what's amazing about this verse? What I read about this verse is, he says, I read it and it covers all three essentials that we've already dealt with in this series. And he was right. Look at it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And he said to them, follow me. That's the essential to know. You don't follow someone you don't know. And when Jesus says, come follow me, it's this picture of being the best man in a wedding. Come follow me. Walk with me. It's an invitation to a relationship. Week number two, I will make you. That's the essential to grow. See, we believe and then we become. This is a process of growth. It doesn't just happen overnight. He says, I will make you. And then here's essential number three, the go essential. I'll make you fishers of men. Now, I don't know a lot about fishing, all right? We had a boat growing up, an old Bayliner, and I enjoy going with Dad every now and then and fishing. And I've taken my girls, not a whole lot. I mean, I'm talking Barbie rod and reels, all right? That kind of fishing. And so we've done a little bit of that. I've gone fishing with my brother on the coast, and there's amazing the parallels. And it's just, again, the brilliance of Jesus to show how fishing for fish and fishing for men, how they parallel, how they match up. We could go into a number of these parallels, a number of these similarities, but just for the sake of keeping it simple, let's just talk about the basics of fishing. What are the basics of fishing, and how does fishing for fish and fishing for men, how do they go together? Well, the basics of fishing is this right here. We cast a net, and we pull it in. I mean, that's the basics. I mean, I know today we're used to, you know, baiting a hook, putting a lure, throwing it with a rod and reel, reeling it back in. But in the days of Jesus, it was casting a net and pulling it back in. They used two nets typically. One was a drag net. That would go between two boats. That took some coordination. It took some effort to drag a drag net through the water, circle it back around, close the net up. Another type of net is what we see here in the scripture. It's a casting net. That's what we see Peter and Andrew doing. They're in verse 18. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees Peter and Andrew casting a net into the sea. I brought an image for you to look at of what this would look like to cast a net into the sea. These nets were typically 9 to 15 feet in diameter. They had little weights around the edges of them so that when you threw it out, it would spread out and then sink into the water. And then once it goes down into the water, that fisherman would pull it back up and do it again. I want you to think about that. Cast the net, pull it back in. Cast the net, pull it back in. Did it over and over and over and over again. I mean, can you imagine that being your job? I mean, we think of fishing about sitting on a comfortable chair, cold drink in the koozie, you know, whatever, enjoying the day. That's what we think of fishing. Not this. This is work. Casting the net, pulling it back in. Casting the net, pulling it back in. Over and over and over again. And then they had to check the net. Is there any holes in it? Is there any trash or debris? If there's trash and debris in the net, that could scare the fish away. If there's holes in the net, fish could get out. They had to mend their nets. That's what James and John are doing. Look at verse 21, the first part. Going from there, he sees two brothers, James and John. What are they doing with their father? Mending their nets. Net had to be clean so it could glide through the water. Unbelievable, the job of this fisherman. Cast it out. Pull it back in. Cast it out, pull it back in. Check it for holes, mend it, cast it out, pull it back in. I want you to note, these fishermen, they were working. They weren't calling out to the fish. They were casting the net for fish. I went running the other day right here by the church, and there's a little pond out there, and there are people fishing in it. Not one of them was calling the fish. Not one of them was going, here, fish, 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 fish. Here, fish, 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 fishy. Not one of them. What are they doing? They're casting their line, reeling it back in, casting their line. They're using different lures to catch different fish. They're trying to get creative. Where do these fish live? Scoping it out. Are they here? Are they here? They're patient. Anybody that's been fishing, no, you might not catch something on your first casting of the net. Got to be patient. Got to persevere. I mean, you can't just give up. You're starting to see why Jesus used fishing as such a great illustration for evangelism and sharing our faith? And Jesus says, if you're called to follow, you're called to fish. And as fishermen, we have to decide that we're going to work hard and do the one thing that Jesus told us to do. The bookends of his life and ministry was to go fish. The one thing he told us to do, make disciples. But how does making disciples start? By catching men, catching women, catching young boys and girls. The Bible calls them fish. The call to follow is a call to fish. And so here's a question for you. I want you to personalize it. I want you to let the Holy Spirit of God grade your paper. I used to love being in school when they'd say, grade your own paper. I can make a good grade my own paper. I want the Holy Spirit of God to grade your paper this morning. Are you fishing? Are you being intentional? When you go to the work, place of work, when you go to the office, go to school, go to the gym, go to the restaurant you frequent, are you being intentional at casting the net of good works, serving people in Jesus' name, displaying Christ in an attractive way to the world around us? Like good fishermen, are you being patient with those fish that you're trying to catch and answering their questions about the faith and about the gospel that they may not understand? Are you persevering? You've wanted to catch this fish called a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad or a friend or a neighbor for a long time. But they've just never taken the bait. They've always evaded the net. Are you persevering and continuing to cast that net out there and pull it back in? No excuse. No excuse for not fishing. We can't say we don't know where the fish are. I mean, they're literally everywhere. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 10, he described evangelism and sharing the gospel as a harvest. Do you remember what he said? He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Another way to say it, there's a lot of fish out there, but the fishermen are few. And this is the fourth largest city in the United States. There are fish everywhere. In ponds called office places, in lakes called neighborhoods, in seas called schools. There are fish everywhere. The question is, are we casting the net and pulling it back in? No excuse. You can't say I'm too young. You could teach the smallest child how to fish. Can't say I'm too old. I remember watching my mama in her 80s sitting out by the pond fishing. Question is, are we casting the net and pulling it back in? I thought about it this week. Truly, are there excuses for not fishing? I thought of maybe two that you could have. One is, no one's ever taught you how to fish. Now, that's a logical excuse if you've never been taught. And we're going to take that excuse away here in about the next 3 to 5 minutes. Like, if you didn't know how to fish, you came to the right place today because we're going to teach you. The second excuse is, maybe you've been fishing and you started out casting that net and pulling it back in and casting that net and pulling it back in, but you didn't catch anything. And we all know fishing is only fun when you're catching something. And so you just got tired of it. You said, I'm not any good at this. And you hung your nets up and you said, fishing's for somebody else. Well, either excuse, I want to encourage you in them today. First, if you don't know how, I want to show you how you can fish and fish in an effective way. Now, the reality is most of you know how. Most of you know how to cast the net. And when I say cast the net, what I mean is you're living in an intentional way, in the way that you love others, in the way that you treat others, in the way that you speak to others, in the way that you serve others. You're living in an intentional way. That's casting the net. What we're not so strong at oftentimes is bringing it back in. This is where most of us need the most amount of help and training. And I want to teach you just in, again, 3 minutes, how you can bring it back in. Because if casting the net is how we live, living in an honorable way, living in a way that people see that we're different, living in a way that people say, why are you making decisions the way that you, why do you make this over here, this church stuff, a priority? They see it and it is attractive and they want to know more. But how do we bring those fish in? How do we do it? It's a tool that we call three circles. Now, every single one of you, when you walked in, you got a card that looks just like this, and it's got three circles on it, okay? I want you to take it out. I want you to look at it. If you're a techie, you can also download our app, Life on Mission. I've done that. Used it a number of times. It's great. And I'm just going to walk you through it. Because bringing the net in begins with having gospel conversations. See, we cast the net with our life. We bring people in with our words. That's sharing the gospel. But oftentimes we get tripped up on how do we even start this conversation. And so I want to give you a very easy way to start a gospel conversation that is a way of bringing in the net. The reality is, if you didn't grow up in church and receive Christ as a little boy or a little girl, more often than not, those that are receiving Christ into their adult years happens because of a circumstance or a situation in life that God allows into their life that gets their attention. They don't have anywhere else to look but up. And the fact is, you go to school with people, you're in neighborhoods with people, you're in offices with people that you have a relationship with. God has given them to you in your sphere of influence. And they don't know Jesus. And guess what? That's why God has put you there. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says that God ordains the exact times and places that we should live. I mean, it is no accident that you work at that office next to that person. No accident that you're on that football team, your locker room next to that person. No accident that you move to that neighborhood and that house next to that person. It is no accident God put you there. Why? So that you could cast the net and bring it in. And the way that we bring it in is through gospel conversations. And what I've noticed is, when I meet with people that I have a friendship with, a relationship with, more often than not, when we're in a conversation and they're searching, they're going to bring up something that's going on in their life. It's going to be a wayward child. Or it's going to be someone that is sick and maybe has passed away. Or they're going to have something going on in their life in turmoil of some kind, a relationship issue, a financial issue. And typically how we can start a gospel conversation is one simple statement. And here it is. It's simply this. You know what? I haven't been through that exact situation, but I've been through some circumstances and situations in life where I really needed help. Can I show you what has really helped me? Never ask that question to one person who said, no, don't show it to me. Never. And this instrument right here, whether you download it on your Life on Mission app, which is what I choose to do, or whether you have this cheat sheet card right here, which we're giving you, it's designed to write it out over a lunch or a coffee. And here's what I typically tell that person. When I say, can I share with you what has helped me when I've gone through tough times? And they say yes, I draw one circle on the screen right there. If you have the app, it starts out with a circle. And it's God's design. And I just tell them, again, I want to bring them in. God's designed you for a relationship with Him. And you just need to know that all of these things going on in your life, they're pointing to the fact that God loves you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. That's how God designed you. The problem is we sin. And if you have your phone, you can just tap the button and there's sin. And on the app, you have verses that you can read with it. We gave you verses on the back so you can just show them. Everybody knows that they've sinned. They don't need to be convinced that they've sinned. But what does sin lead to? That's the second circle. It leads to brokenness. Everybody can identify with brokenness. Everybody. And here's the reality. I start drawing arrows outside of brokenness right here. And what happens is when we're broken through whatever may be going on in our life, we try to fix it ourselves. This is what humans try to do. We try to fix it and we say, you know what will fix my brokenness? A relationship will fix it. And so out beside that first error, I put a relationship. But you know what's happening? That's carrying me further away from God's design. Or I think, you know what? Some of you are here and you're broken by life right now. And you're thinking, you know what? Here's what's going to fix me. Church is going to fix me. And so you can put church up there. Church is not going to fix you. It may help. But the answer is this third circle. It's the gospel. That's what's going to fix our brokenness. And the gospel is that Jesus came, God in the flesh, and he lived a perfect life. He came to fix our brokenness, to save us from our sin. And we've got to stop chasing money and substance abuse and all these things that we think are going to fix our brokenness. And we've got to believe the gospel. And that's where I just write that third arrow right there, to repent and believe in the gospel. So we got to stop going our own way. We got to stop doing our own thing. And we got to believe the gospel. And you know what happens when you believe the gospel? You recover God's design for your life, and you begin to pursue him. And you know what happens? God sends you out into a broken world, and that's what he's doing for me today, to send you out to talking to you today so that you could know this is the answer. Simple. Gospel conversation takes all of 5 minutes to do. And if you download the app, again, it's got the verses with it. It's so simple. It's just a way. Listen, you're casting your nets, no doubt about it. The question is, are you bringing the fish in? And you can do it simply by saying, I haven't been through a situation exactly like that, but can I share with you what has really helped me? And you just begin to write it out, get your phone, and walk them through these three circles. And then just ask them, have you believed the gospel? Have you trusted in the gospel? It can change your life. Do you remember when you first fished? Maybe you're a little boy, a little girl, your dad took you, uncle, granddad. Now, I remember it. For me, I was sitting out there and I'm just watching that cork. And my dad said, hey, listen, when that cork goes under, you be ready. I mean, I'm just watching it. You remember that? And do you remember the excitement when that fish took that cork under for the first time? When he hit that lure for the first time and just took it. You remember how excited you were? You brought that fish in. You held it up. You took a picture with it. You probably held it out here to make it look bigger than it really is. So proud to catch that fish. When you fish for men, fish for women, boys and girls, and you catch that fish, there's an excitement unlike anything you've ever seen. That's why when we give the invitation at the end of our services and we ask people to come forward to follow Jesus, and we're going to do that here in just a moment, we're going to ask you to come forward and follow Jesus. That's why the church just lights up. Why? Because we're catching fish. There ain't nothing like catching fish. You know this is true, don't you? You go to these big cities like Houston, any major city nowadays. They have aquariums. And the best aquariums have the most amount of fish to look at. You go in there and you think, this is amazing. Look at all these fish. I thought about it this week. Would it be that God, by his grace, would allow us to go into our neighborhoods and our businesses and our schools and this community and fish like never before? And when we catch these fish, we bring them to this aquarium called Champion Forest. And we put them in this aquarium with all these other fish. And I'm telling you, when we do that, that'll get the community's attention. And they'll come from all over to look at this aquarium and go, how is that happening? How are all these fish swimming in the same place? And we get to give testimony to the goodness and glory of God. Champion Forest, I'm telling you, it's an essential. Let's make sure that we go this week And we make sure that we are fishing because the call to follow is a call to fish. Amen? Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to give you an opportunity today that if you've never followed Jesus, you've never been caught by the Savior himself, today you can come to know Jesus in a personal way. And you know how you do that? By a prayer of faith, a simple prayer of faith. The Bible teaches that when we turn from our sins and we place our faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, what he did on the cross, dying for us, shedding his blood, what he did in the resurrection, raising to life, demonstrating that he is God, that he can do what he said he could do, forgive our sin, make us right with God, give us peace and purpose and meaning in life. You pray a simple prayer of faith, just ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. Just tell him in your own words, Jesus, I want to follow you. And God, he sees the posture of your heart, the humility and the faith that you're expressing. And in a moment, he can save you just like that. It's spiritual. It's a miracle. It's a new birth, the Bible says. And if that's you, would you just pray it right now? If you're watching online and you need a relationship with Christ, just pray a simple prayer of faith in your own words. Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. I want to follow you. I'm telling you, in a moment, you're a caught fish. You're a caught fish. There's some of you here, you've been visiting Champion Forest, and you want to join the church. What we're going to do is I'm going to pray here in just a moment, and we're going to stand and we're going to sing, and we're going to ask you to come forward if you want to join, and just tell the pastor that's standing right here, we want to join the church, and we'll get you signed up for our new members class. We had one this morning, had over 20 people in our new members class. God's doing a great work here. It's unbelievable. And if you want to join the church, if you want to join the church in just a moment, you come, because you coming is going to encourage someone else. Hey, look, it takes courage to walk down an aisle like this. You say, what are you going to do? You know what we're going to do? We're going to encourage you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to put some resources in your hand that can help you grow in your faith. That's what we're going to do. This church is going to celebrate like crazy decisions that are being made. Maybe you need to be baptized. Here after the service, we're going to baptize a couple of people. It's going to be awesome. That's the signal that somebody's life has been changed. They're going from death to life because they're symbolizing it by being baptized. You can come forward today. We'll schedule your baptism. We'll do it next week, whenever fits your schedule. I don't know what decision God has laid on your heart. Trusting in him, joining our church, being baptized. Hey, you may be here today and there's a fish that you've been trying to catch for years, and they just won't get on the line. For me, it was my brother. I prayed for 17 years for my brother to come to know Christ. I fished for 17 years. I'm so glad I didn't give up fishing, because he prayed to receive Christ. God's radically changed his life. 17 years of fishing. Some of you have some fish you've been fishing for. You know what? I think there's power in calling their name out to God. And so maybe in this invitation, when we stand to sing, you want to come forward and just tell the pastor here the name of the fish that you want caught. And all we're going to do is pray that God would use you and that God would use people just like you in that person's life to catch them. So maybe you need to pray for somebody you love. Come, let us pray for you. That's what we're here for. That's what the pastors of our church are here for. They're going to be standing right here. So I'm going to pray. We're going to stand and sing. And then whatever decision God's laid on your heart, prayer, we want you to come. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word today speaking to our hearts. God, for those that are praying to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, give them the courage to come so we can celebrate with them, put resources in their hand. For those that are joining the church, give them the courage to come. Lord, for those that need to be baptized, give them the courage to come. For those that need prayer, Lord, let them come so that we can call that person's name out to you, God. Lord, the call to follow is a call to fish. Lord, make us fishers of men for your great glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.